B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Been a fun show. A really, really weird version of Bleep You Thursday. Joining us right now is Clay Harbor, Super Bowl winner, seven-year NFL career. I counted wrong there. Nine-year NFL career.
Can I count?
I'm not a good counter. Clay, what's up, dude? How are you?
It's actually eight and some change there, but I'll take six, seven, eight, whatever you want to give me, man. But I'm good. I hope you guys are doing well.
Clay, don't worry. He just can't count, man.
Yeah, dude. The more years, I'm telling you, blame it on Pro Football Reference, because when it goes from one team to the next, they break it up and it gets all complicated, and I apologize about that.
I get it. As long as my pension still says nine, I'm good.
That's the most important, for sure.
You get three games, it's a year.
Clay, you are part of the Believe in Bears podcast, covering everything in Chicago. You know, especially this week with the Jaden Daniels injury being a factor in Washington, that's kind of taken all of our attention away from the suddenly surging Caleb Williams and this Chicago team. What has Caleb improved on since week one, week two, where it looked pretty rough?
Man, what hasn't he improved on? I'll be honest. I mean, I was starting to get worried after a couple weeks, but you got to realize that a lot of these guys, it does take some time, especially when you're running, you know, a different style offense, you know, than maybe you guys are seeing out there in Washington with Cliff Kingsbury. So it takes a little bit of time to get used to. It's just the NFL offense, Shanahan scheme. It takes some getting used to, and Shane Waldron is really adjusting now to stuff that fits Caleb. Now he's doing a little bit more of what you guys use out there, that little muddle huddle. You're calling some things at the line, a little bit of hurry up, you know, getting some quick passes out there, some simple reads. You know, you're not trying to read the whole field and throw the ball down the field a ton. So you're seeing Shane Waldron improve along with Caleb, and with that comes the run game, DeAndre Swift, that opens things up in the pass game. Now you see him get the ball to Keenan Allen last week, DJ Moore the week before, and it's just opened everything up. And the offensive line, you know, got to give them some props too. They've also improved on pressure as well. So it's been a full offensive improvement, and obviously the first couple games were against some pretty good defenses too.
Have you noticed that going to more of that, like that you say, the muddle huddle, more of a little quicker tempo, not huddling up? So what they do in college a lot is helping a lot of guys out in the pros.
Oh man, it's just what they're used to, and this is a new generation of quarterbacks. These quarterbacks aren't growing up under the huddle, doing the turn their backs and defense play actions. What these guys are doing, they're playing 7-on-7s year-round, where they can just look at the defense. They're going to camps. They're doing the muddle huddle. They're getting the calls from the sidelines throughout college, high school. Everything turns into the spread. So why, when you get into the NFL, do you say all of a sudden, okay, we're going to do it this way, when they've been used to something, they've been trained in something? So for me, that's why you're seeing a lot of success with that, that muddle huddle, the sugar huddle, whatever you want to call it. That quicker tempo that's not quite the hurry up has really helped Caleb Williams. And the Bears, the last 2 weeks that they've been playing, they were obviously in a bye last week, the last two games have used that higher than any team in the NFL. So they've used that. It's helped them to improve offensively, and Caleb just feels so much more comfortable in that because it's something he's used to.
Talking with Clay Harbor here, nine-year NFL veteran. You can follow him on X and Instagram at ClayHarbs82. Check him out with the Believe in Bears podcast. You mentioned coming off the bye. How healthy are they now? Like, I mean, it's wacky to me that Washington gets the Bears off a bye, and then in another 2 weeks they get the Steelers off a bye. How much of an advantage could that be?
I would say it'd be an advantage, but the crazy part is they still got two of their biggest defensive pieces are not healthy, which is tough. You know, they got Montez Sweat obviously coming back for the revenge game, but besides that, Jalen Johnson, I think, is their best defensive player. But after those two guys, you got Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon. Neither of those guys are going to play. Kyler Gordon, in my opinion, is the top five slot defender in the league, not just because of what he can do in coverage, but he is just a weapon in the run game. They use him on run blitz, pass blitz. He's the perfect defender for a guy like Jaden Daniels just because he's so fast and quick and he's physical. He's just, they call him Spider-Man just because his reflexes are so fast. And Jaquan Brisker, the guy can just hit. And he hit himself into a concussion. He's been in protocol.
Is he cleared? What's his status?
No. 16, 17 days. He's not cleared. In Chicago, it looks like he's probably not going to play just because he's had two concussions before. and it has kept him out 2 weeks before, and obviously the bye week should help with that. But if you're not practicing on Wednesday or Thursday, then you're probably not going to play in the game, so nobody's really expecting Risker to play. Those are two big losses there for the Bears.
But overall, the defense had played well, huh?
Oh, yeah. Defense has been standing up. They got one of the best defensive backfields in the NFL, obviously, when everybody's healthy. The D-line is better than you would think. Obviously, you guys are familiar with Montez Sweat, and he's been a little slow this year. Only got two and a half sacks and a few pressures. But overall, the defensive line has really stepped up. Gervon Dexter has applied some pressure from inside. But, I mean, they're basically just guys there. They're average guys. They're pros. They're not going to do anything crazy. But the strength is the back end, is the secondary. And then we got some good linebackers. T.J. Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, guys are running all over the field and making plays.
Washington's defense started rough, but has really kind of turned things around and been much better over the last month. It's kind of interesting. If you look at the mutual opponents so far for Chicago and for Washington, there's only the Panthers. And both the Bears and the Commanders beat up on the Panthers big time.
Yeah.
I'm curious what the Bears' defensive line performance has been against good running teams, because this Washington team really runs the ball well.
Yeah, that's really been their Achilles heel. I mean, last couple weeks they've been better at it, and they've done a better job against the run. And it was something that was a big point of contention, and over the bye week that was something that everybody's talking about fixing is the run game. But have they fixed it? So for me, if there was a weak link in the Bears defense, it would be that run defense. And last couple weeks, it's gotten better, but I'm still not sold 100% that it's fixed. But it's been a big point of contention in Chicago. Great defense against the pass, but against the run, they're still a little susceptible. So I think that's going to be a big factor in this game, is if they can stop the run. And obviously, you know, if Jaden's playing versus if Mariota's playing, and I'm not sure how the plays, you know, change. You guys probably saw it a little bit more, how much they're running Mariota versus what they were doing with Jaden Daniels there, but I'm sure there's a pretty big difference.
What is the feeling out there on if you're going to see Jaden or Mariota? Sounds like you are expecting Mariota to play, right?
I mean, it's the same. I mean, you guys are probably getting the same info we are. I mean, we're all looking for it. We're listening to the guys at ESPN, Adam Schefter, all the breakdowns, and, you know, you can't really get much. So it sounds like it's 50-50. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays. I wouldn't be surprised if he wouldn't. Personally, I think he's not going to play just because he means so much to that team. And the ribs injury, I've never had one, but obviously a lot of my former teammates have, so I know how difficult that is to play in. And why do you want to risk, you know, you have such a good season going, why do you want to risk a number two overall pick, rookie of the year favorite, if there is a chance that he could re-aggravate these ribs and really be something that bothers him down the stretch, you know, when you're coming into division play there. So for me, it would make sense if there was a question to not play him, but I wouldn't be surprised either way.
Yeah. I just think it's a situation where rib injuries come down to the pain threshold, mindset, and young people heal a lot quicker than us as old people. That's all I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely true. And, yeah, they'll shoot him up probably. I don't know if they still can do that. But you put the flak jacket on him, shoot him up if he wants to, but – you know, I mean, it just depends on the thought process of the coaching staff. If he's still sore and hurting, and as much as you don't want to say it, is that affects guys? You know, when you know you're gonna expose your ribs for a pass and you're about to get hit. Rather, if you wait a week and you're feeling close to 100%, if you get re-injured this week, Montez Sweat coming off the edge. I mean, it's a risk either way. You know, you're risking putting in Marcus Mariota, who honestly looked pretty good last week, and looking at the numbers, the guy looked great. And obviously we know he's playing against the Carolina Panther defense, which, I mean, I could probably go out there and complete a couple passes, but still, he's a capable backup. He's played in, I mean, 90-plus football games. He's a 10-year vet. So I think he's a guy they do trust.
So, you know, what's interesting is for a long time, Washington and Chicago have kind of been similar organizations. Obviously, the ownership problems here were unique to here, but it's not like the Bears' ownership has been great in other ways in winning, and the search for a quarterback's been going on for decades. And now you've got these two young quarterbacks that seem you know, maybe they're going to change these franchises. Is that how – that's definitely how Commanders fans feel. Is that how Bears fans feel about Caleb?
Absolutely. What we've seen the last couple of weeks from Caleb and just heard from the way he appreciates the game, respects the game, works hard, and how he's improved lately, it's just been impressive. And I can honestly say he's the best quarterback I've really got to watch here in Chicago. But, I mean, since I retired, I've seen – I mean, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton. I mean, I haven't seen much. Mitch Trubisky, and then Justin Fields. But he's improved so much these last few games. He's getting the ball out quick. And Chicago really does have a feeling is, wow, we finally found our guy. We got a quarterback. They're 4-2. Obviously, they haven't beat a lot of trained killers, a lot of playoff teams, so to speak. But the attitude around Chicago is this is going to be an exciting year. And it's going to be exciting for years to come because they found a QB1.
And that makes a world of difference, I think, getting the quarterback. Do you see him as a guy? Just say I can see Jaden as being a guy where people are going to want to play with him. You see Caleb the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. And you see that with him earning the trust of DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. I mean, these are guys that have been around the league, guys that have played with a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of offenses, and the way they talk about them is the way you want your receivers to talk about a quarterback. I mean, just earning the trust of vets and them saying that he's doing all the right things. And Cole Kmet as well is what you want to hear. These guys have been there. They've been successful in a number of different offenses, number of different head coaches, number of different systems, and they believe in Caleb. So to me, when guys, veterans like that, even Mercedes Lewis, who's like 65 years old and still playing tight end, it has nothing but good things to say about Caleb Williams. So to me, that shows what kind of guy he is. He's willing to go out there and work, and he knew he had to earn the player's respect, and that's what he did throughout all training camp and preseason.
For sure. And I think, you know, I don't know Caleb, but he's from here, and I know a lot of people that do know him. And I think the image, you know, the fingernail painting, like all the stuff that people really made to be this really big deal, it doesn't seem to his teammates, he seems like he's just a really good dude, one of the guys. Is that the right vibe from kind of boots on the ground out there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because I had that perception too as a Bears guy, you know, just like, oh man, we got Caleb Williams. I heard this guy's a little bit of a diva, maybe, you know, prima donna. People were saying he wanted ownership of the team. People were saying all this crazy stuff coming out. He wants his own office in the building was one of the rumors. And then you get a chance to go out there. I'm watching training camps, you know, covering some stuff for the Bears. And you really get to see this guy interacting and speaking with everybody. And he's just a hardworking, regular guy that respects his teammates, will laugh and joke with the guy and likes to have fun and just loves to play football. He's not trying to get any extra attention. He's not the Hollywood guy dressed up, wearing sunglasses at night, not even doing anything like that. He is just a guy that loves to play football. I mean, and that's what his friends say about him. He's a leader that you want. The game is what comes first. His teammates come second. And he's way down that list after everybody on his team, his family, his friends, and then him. So he's the perfect guy to be a leader in Chicago. And he's just couldn't be more opposite of the persona that I thought he was going to have coming in.
Yeah.
So, Clay, obviously you know the Bears well. You've got the podcast, Believe in Bears. Folks should check you out on social media, at Clay Harbs 82. What do you think happens? What do you think happens this weekend? How do you think this goes down?
Man, I think it's everybody in Washington's going to say Washington's going to win a close one, and everybody in Chicago's going to say Chicago's going to win a close one. So I'm gonna say the Bears 24-23, really tight game, close game down to the wire. And obviously that changes if Jaden plays or if Mariota plays. So I'm going to go with the Bears. I think their defense is going to be is tougher than a lot of defenses that the Commanders have played. And I think the Bears' offense has improved a ton, and it's not the same offense. If you obviously, with all the statistics, you group the first two games in, but it's not the same team. So for me, obviously, as a Bears guy, I'm going to go with the Bears. I'm sure you guys are taking the Commanders, but I think it's going to be a good game regardless.
Yeah. So I'm looking for a great game.
I think so. Jaden not at practice again today. That news is just emerging now. No sign of Jaden Daniels at Commanders practice. Schefter said that he thinks they're going to try to practice him tomorrow, which is a fairly interesting little development here. I think a lot of it will hinge on Jaden. I think the Bears defense is a very different challenge than what we saw from Carolina. I also think Washington's defense is really starting to surge in a way that the Chicago offense, I don't really trust that run game. Am I reading that right?
I wouldn't either. I mean, they've been great the last couple of weeks, but, yeah, they still have some work to do before I trust them fully.
I mean, I know they're down. They're down towards the bottom just in rush yards, which doesn't always tell the story. And they had the big – I mean, they've had two blowouts in a row. What is just the vibe with the Bears coming off the bye? And they won – I mean, the two wins prior to that were comfortable, rest your starters by the fourth quarter kind of games.
Yeah, it's not something that we're used to in Chicago. But it's like – you know, coming – and we say the run game, right? From weeks 1 to 3, DeAndre Swift ranked 43rd in yards before contact. Before contact. Week 4 to 6, he ranked 5th in yards before contact. So the offensive line has been opening up holes. He's the last 3 weeks, he's 4th in rushing yards. He's 3rd in rushing TDs. He's 1st in receiving yards for running back. And he's 2nd in yards from scrimmage. Obviously, I'm talking about the last 3 weeks. So you talk about the run game, and that's one of the things that have really unlocked this offense, is the Bears have been getting DeAndre Swift the ball in space, and they've been doing a good job of doing that, getting if it's a screen pass, if it's a run, obviously he's in the top 5 in the last 3 weeks. Obviously a small sample size, but when they've started to win these games, they've really made a point to get DeAndre Swift the ball in those situations. And I think that's why you've seen a lot of things open up in the passing game, in the downfield game, and everything else. So it depends, man. If they can keep the last 3 weeks going, or do they revert back to the team they were the first 3 weeks? So last 3 weeks, the running game actually has looked pretty good, and they've gotten a lot more creative. Shane Waldron was catching a ton of grief the first 3 weeks. People are saying, send this guy back to Seattle. But the last 3 weeks, he's really looked like he's figuring this team out and putting guys in the best situations so where they can be successful.
This sounds like it's... both teams are very familiar.
It sounds like a lot.
You know, defense is playing better. You run the ball, you can do other things. If you don't run it, you won't be able to do other things. So
get ready for that.
They're going to be looking at each other like the Spider-Man meme.
That old graphic of guys that coached in Washington with Waldron, because he was here at least for a year and maybe two. Dude, what's up with Odunze? Is he not healthy? Did he miss some time?
No, he's been a little bit disappointing, obviously, watching the All-22s. He's not creating as much separation as you would like. But, I mean, he's still young and he's solid, but he's in a tough situation, man. He's behind two guys that it's tough to take reps away from. You got DJ Moore. I mean, you guys got very familiar with him last year.
Yeah,
to the
DJ,
230 yards and two touchdowns. And then you got Keenan Allen, who was, like, 5th in the NFL in receiving yards receptions last year. And last week had five catches and two touchdowns. So Cole Kmet also is 7th in the league in receiving yards for tight ends. So you got three guys right there. I just talked about DeAndre Swift. So it's tough to get Odunze the ball. I mean, there's just one football, right? And I think he's going to have a breakout game or two here eventually. He is a big guy that can run. But it's just tough right now because there's so many weapons on that Bears offense. And when the offense wasn't playing well to begin the season, it was tough to get anybody the ball. And now you've seen DJ have a breakout game, Cole have a breakout game, Keenan. So everybody's kind of waiting for Rome's.
Yeah, I mean, we've known DJ because he's a Terp, but we went through his stat line from last year. He went for 230 and three scores.
He went for too
year.
Much. Like that.
Clay, thank you for making time for
appreciate
us.
Appreciate you,
really
Clay.
Appreciate it.
No, appreciate you guys having me. Go Bears.
All right. That is Clay Harbor. Give him a follow at ClayHarbs82 and check out the Believe in Bears podcast.
I'm not going to do that.
You're not going to listen to it?
No.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, the Commanders on the practice field now. Media gets to watch a few minutes of it, and what we can tell you.
Then they shove you off the sideline?
Yep. For the portion the media was out there, Jaden Daniels was not out there.
You ever thought he'd come out after you leave?
They'd have to list that on the report.
You have to?
Yeah. Otherwise, you can get a big-ass fine. I mean, the gamblers care, and the league's in bed with the gamblers.
But so, if I were to bring him out there to have him do some stuff with the –
if he does anything with the team, you got to list
if he goes out there on the other field with the trainer, I don't have to list that. If I told you already he was probable or whatever.
Yeah, I mean that. But, like, if he
That's
does –
what I'm saying.
Maybe. I think tomorrow – I wondered if they'd try to get him out there today so that then tomorrow – because one of the biggest steps in trying to recover from an injury is not just are you able to practice again, mm-hmm. it's how do you feel the next day after you push it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So part of me wondered if today would be the day they'd at least want to see him out there to see how he responded tomorrow. I don't know that Schefter is trying to do this as, like, developing news, but I kind of think it is because we haven't heard this anywhere else. Schefter is saying – the expectation, Washington plans to attempt to try to practice Jaden Daniels on Friday.
Plan to attempt to try.
Yes.
You plan to practice him on Friday. You don't plan to attempt to try. That's a lot too many damn words right there.
Yeah, it seems like if you look at the national dudes, Garofolo says, has seemed like tomorrow will be the big day to see if the Commanders rookie quarterback can get some practice in before Sunday. So we'll see what's up then. And then if you look at Rap Sheet, he had an interesting one also. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. You know what I mean? I think. What are you laughing about now?
Greg, talking about Jaden out there hiding in the woods waiting for everybody to leave.
I don't think that would be the case. Yesterday was a 0 out of 10. I didn't think he was going to practice. He didn't practice. I would have been surprised, frankly, if he did. Today is a. It's a little more than a 0 out of 10. What about for you?
About him not playing?
I think today is. Leans more towards him not playing. I think there's it's possible they let him play without practicing all week if they think it's different.
I think the dude is so advanced when it comes down to preparing as a young man that it's just like when I made the comment to you about Mariota. If they want to play him playing today or you practicing today or yesterday has nothing to do with anything.
I agree, but I think at some point it's about the physical ability to practice.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
the like, oh, he's not going to be here for the third down installation. That's not what I'm saying. It's mm-hmm. about the physical ability to practice. When do you think he needs to practice now at this point tomorrow?
Yes.
For them to play him?
Well, I'm going to still say no. He don't need to practice because of who he is. But I would think ordinarily if it was any other person that's a rookie, yes. You know what I mean?
I think it's who he is and how good he is, right? Like,
yeah.
You could have the hardest working seventh round rookie ever that maybe you feel like is ready to go whether he practices or not, but he's just not good enough to deal with that. Like, Jaden is also such a difference maker. Rosenberg mentioned this earlier. I do wonder if you can look to Vegas on this one. Bees, if you're listening, text me what you think this line would be if Jaden Daniels wasn't injured. You know, you've got the Commanders are 3-point underdogs in this game. That, to me, tells me they think Mariota's starting. I find it hard to believe.
But I don't think – this is what I'm saying. They could think what they want. I don't think that they get any information that will tell them he's not going to play. I guess they're leaning towards that. Because if he was having to play, they would try to adjust that crap so quick.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I keep saying, when you read into Vegas, you think that you're getting some line or something. Vegas ain't trying to give you no line. They're just trying to make sure everything don't be one way so they don't get their asses handed to them.
Sure. Lanville, no practice for Jaden today. I think you believed he wasn't playing already. Where are you at now?
Yeah, it doesn't really change for me. I didn't think he was playing. And, I mean, you know, not practicing is obviously, that's like the first step to not playing.
Yeah, yesterday was a complete nothing. Today is a little different, not going. We'll get the official injury report later where they'll officially list him as a DNP. If he doesn't play, I think it's because they are siding on the cautious approach, and I think there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm with that. I mean, I have no problem with that, but let me ask you a question. What if he was to come out now in practice, and they do say he did participate, but it was a situation where I don't want every media person speculating on what they think they saw. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that's very possible. Listen, I've been around a lot of coaches who believe everybody's going to see everything, everybody's going to give information, they're going to help the other team. And I think most coaches have that little mindset where, oh, Lord, I don't want people to see this, think this, whatever. And they can do stuff. If he were to practice a little bit, like right now, everybody's coming back inside, he goes and practices something, and they say, oh, he participated. He's doing what the league tells him to do.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen today.
I'm saying, but he will be doing what the league tells him to do.
Sure, I don't expect that. Like
I'm not saying
when the injury report comes out, I don't think it's going to say limited and he came out after we were out there.
No, I understand all that, Jay, but I'm just saying everything that we think is supposed to happen don't always happen how you think it is. That's all I'm letting you know.
I understand, for sure.
Believe that.
Obviously. I hear you, and I think that's a given. It's going to be fascinating to watch this thing unfold. If you were Dan Quinn, let's say Jaden doesn't practice tomorrow and they know he's not playing, would you say so tomorrow afternoon when you talk again? How much advantage can they really have at this point?
Well, I don't know.
Like, the Bears are watching the
tape. I just think that sometimes just keeping things like I just know players always say what they don't hear, what they don't feel. I don't like every time my player turn on the TV, they're going to be saying something, thinking something, feeling something. Because the whole thing about football, the mental aspect affects a lot. Everybody physically ready to play whatever. But when you start thinking, and I understand Mariota's been around a long time, this, that, and the other. How much does it affect other people on the team, too? Not just the quarterback, per se, but other people on the team.
Like, so would it be helpful for them?
If I were to be the coach, I wouldn't tell you anything till I have to. I'm not saying anything just because. I say it when I have to say it. If I don't have to say it, I'm not saying it.
Yeah, I mean, so when Dan Quinn talks tomorrow, he could rule Jaden out, right? But I don't know that there's any – like today, if he doesn't practice, tomorrow if he doesn't practice, you have to list his availability on the injury mm-hmm. report. But I don't know that there's any – significance to listing somebody as out on Friday when the game's Sunday afternoon. I don't think you have to do that.
And I think
you could list him as doubtful.
You could list him as doubtful, but I don't think it's significant to say anything to the other team or not say anything to him. You know, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. If I were the coach, I'm going to tell you information when I have to tell you information. If I don't have to tell you, you won't be knowing anything.
Here's the information I have to tell you. Joining us next, Bears legend and Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Charles Peanut Tillman. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Very excited to get to the BetQL guest line. Welcome in Charles Tillman, a.k.a. Peanut Tillman. What's going on, man? Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate y'all, man. How y'all doing?
We're doing good, brother. How you been?
I can't complain. No worries. How's that weather up there?
Well, it's like 60 degrees here today, but, you know, every time we get to play against another team, I reach out and I say I want to get somebody from a team. And I was like, who do I know from the Bears? And I started rolling through my phone. I say, bam, got the best guy to talk to. So we decided to give you a call, just find out a little bit about what you're thinking about this Bears team now as they get ready to face the Commanders.
I like what I see. You know, the last game I went to London. I went with the team, and I like what I see. Obviously, you get the number one pick, so everyone's looking at the quarterback. So he's done a hell of a job thus far. I think it's a lot to put or give the keys to the lack is what I like to call it. You get the keys to the lack. He gets the keys to the lack. And he's actually doing fairly well, meaning he starts off slow, but as the game progresses, I think he finds his groove and he makes decisive decisions. And once he's got that groove going, you know, he finds his niche and then he just starts making plays and he's out there having fun. I love Caleb's enthusiasm. To me, that's the key. He looks like he's having fun. Yeah. When his receivers score, and that's why you play the game. It's for the. I mean, don't get me wrong. The conversation is hella. It's great. The money is great. But we started playing this game because it was fun, and I really see like he's. It really looks like he's having a lot of fun, and that's a good thing.
That is really cool. I'm checking out your Twitter page right now, and obviously you do a lot of work with your nonprofit organization. You can follow Charles at Peanut Tillman. What is your role with the Bears these days? Are you kind of just around and doing charity stuff?
I'm just the alumni ambassador. So
okay.
I promote
awesome.
Everything Chicago. I'm the old guy on the team. I attend a lot of the games just as an ambassador, being a former player. That's my role. I'm just hanging out, having fun. I get to hang around the young guys from time to time. I get to see them. You know, it keeps me around the game. And, yeah, if I
That's
see
awesome.
A guy and I can offer him some advice here and there, I do it. And I really like what Coach Eberflus and the GM Poles, they're very positive, and they want the older guys to come around. You know, it's a very, hey, open doors. You guys built this for us. By all means, come hang out. Come enjoy some of the success with us. So
that's
you
awesome.
You know, you see guys from time to time, you know, around the building here and there.
Well, you started a move. You were punching the ball out.
How cool!
How
is
does that?
That
make you feel when you hear them call it the peanut punch, and you still see people trying it, and they do it at a high level now?
I kind of got to walk with my chest out a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. It makes me feel good. I'm extremely humbled by it, but it makes me feel good. Like, damn, I did that. Like, I started that. I'm a little old dude from USL, and y'all calling my name out every week. That's pretty cool. So my kids think it's even cooler now because when I played, they were so young, but now they're just like, oh my God, Dad, they just said your name. So we'll watch a football game, and they're like, and Tillman with the – or not Tillman, so-and-so with the peanut punch. Fred Warner doing an amazing imitation of the peanut punch. And, you know, I'm just like,
that's so cool.
Yeah, so it's a game.
And you know
changer,
what? It
man.
Brings me pride, too, brother, to be honest with you.
Yeah, hey, man, trying to represent for Carpus Cove, Texas, trying to represent for Lafayette, Louisiana. You know, it makes me
that's
feel
very
good.
Cool.
It puts a smile on my face. I think that's the best way I can describe it.
There you go.
It puts a smile on my face. It brings a little joy in my heart.
Talking with Peanut Tillman here on the BetQL guest line. Peanut played 13 years in the NFL, 12 years with the Bears. This number is astonishing. And, Peanut, maybe you're aware of it, but – obviously, you became quite famous for the peanut punch, and throughout your career, you were forcing fumbles at a rate most defensive backs never even come close to approaching, right? But do you know how many fumbles you forced in 2012?
10.
10! That's absurd, dude. That is absurd.
The funny thing about that, though, is... I feel like if social media would have been out when I first started, people would have been doing the peanut punch. Now, my teammates and all of Chicago knew I was doing it, meaning the fans. Everybody knew I did it. It didn't really catch on until like the 11th year in the league. Now, other teams knew I was doing it. And I remember the first time we played Seattle, one of the times we played Seattle, and Pete Carroll goes, Pete Carroll literally came up to me after the game and just goes, man, I don't know if we won or lost, but he goes, I really respect how you take the ball away. Like, I've never seen that. Like, it is really awesome. Thank you. I show guys tape of you. And this is when I'm still playing. And I was like, oh, wow, thank you. I appreciate that, coach. And then the D coordinator at the time, I forget his name. What's the commander say, coach name?
Dan Quinn.
Quinn was there. And Quinn, he came up to me and he said something. And then after that, other players, other DB coaches, other D coordinators, they would literally come and just say, I make my guys watch film on you. We literally watch film on you. And then I've been to other teams. I went to the Jets one year. I went to the Jets last year. Obviously, I've been to Chicago, but I've been to other. I've been to several teams, building, and just I've been to Carolina and just went to the DB room and just taught them how to like, yo, here's how we should do this. Here's if you want to take the ball away, this is the best case scenario of how you get it back to your offense. And I'll do demonstrations. I'll do 1-2 day demonstrations. You know, if a team comes or would like to fly me out, I go out and I show these NFL teams on how to create the, you know, how to do it. Or I'll go to a college team and just, hey, this is how you do it. And if you do it fairly well, you can get rich. It's a great move.
You forced a fumble in the Super Bowl, dude. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Thinking outside the box, that's really what it was, man. Just trying to think outside the box. And have fun doing it.
There you go.
Peanut, we got
to
bounce.
Well, we'll have to get you on another time, brother. And you know what? One day I'll be going to the convention of the Peanut Punch.
Let's do it. I'm with it.
All right, baby. Appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
Y'all have a good one, gentlemen.
Keep representing, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Awesome interview right there. Peanut Tillman. A raging Cajun, a Chicago Bear.
That's what we do. That's what we do, Jay.
The inventor of the peanut punch.
Happen.
That was awesome. thank you to everybody listening to the program today. Thank you to Peter Rosenberg. Thank you to both the coordinators, Joe Witt, Cliff Kingsbury. Thank you to Clay Harbor. And thank you to Peanut Tillman. A lot of great calls today. A couple weird ones, but a lot of great ones. We'll be back tomorrow. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. I owe you a beer.